It's Tuesday, September 8th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you had an enjoyable Labor Day weekend. I did. I was working. Of course, Saturday night, we had the debut of Normal Show Live on Blog Talk Radio, and by all accounts, it was a roaring success. We had the authors of Marijuana is Safer, Paul Armentano, Steve Fox, and Mason Tvert. Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre, also joined us, and we spoke with mixed martial artist Toby Tigerheart Greer. The only issue we came up upon was having a problem with some of the volume levels here at the studio. To that end, I have gotten rid of the old equipment I'm using, and thanks to the generous donations of you supporters here at the Stash, I've gotten us hooked up to some new equipment that should take care of that problem. We've also made a move to Skype here at Normal's West Coast Media Headquarters. Check me out. It's Radical Russ on the Skype system. Got the video and audio chat, and it's what we'll be using from now on to record all the interviews for the Daily Audio Stash and to produce the Normal Show Live connection to Blog Talk Radio. So, hey, if it's good enough for Oprah, it's good enough for Normal. Also spent some time this weekend getting ready for the Normal National Conference, September 24th through 26th in San Francisco, California. I'll be delivering the opening presentation on Friday called The Zeitgeist of Legalization, How and Why We Got to Be Where We Are Today with regard to marijuana legalization becoming so popular in the mainstream culture. I pulled an all-nighter to get this one done by deadline, but it's going to be some good stuff. For those of you who are attending the conference, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. After the conference, I'll post a flash video of the presentation so those of you here at the Stash can enjoy it as well.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
We've got a lot of events happening in the cannabis community all around the country. Check out normal.org/calendar for more details. On Thursday, the members of Normal Nebraska will be meeting on 72nd and Dodge Street in Omaha, Nebraska, to hold signs Thursday afternoon to make people aware of the need to change cannabis laws in Nebraska. Also on Thursday, Mason Tvert from Safer will be the keynote speaker at Joplin Normal's Cannabis Revival that's beginning on Thursday in Joplin, Missouri. Check out the calendar for more details. On Friday, September 11th, the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association begins their All Things Cannabis seminar at the Red Lion Hotel and Convention Center all weekend. This is a CLE-approved seminar, that's continuing legal education, where you can get credits if you're a lawyer or paralegal. And it's sponsored by the OCDLA and moderated by Normal Legal Committee members Lee Berger, Paul Loney, and John Lucy IV. Normal's Executive Director Alan St. Pierre will be there, as well as Drug Policy Alliance's Executive Director Ethan Nadelman. Check out the link at the Normal calendar, normal.org/calendar. The folks at Normal Nebraska will do some more sign holding on Friday, this time in Lincoln, Nebraska in the afternoon at 16th and O Streets. Cannabis Common Sense will be on the air on ustream.tv, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon on Friday night. On Saturday, the Monolith Festival begins in Denver, Colorado. You can check it out at the Red Rocks Amphitheater and stop by the Mile High Normal booth downstairs for more information about ending adult marijuana prohibition in Colorado. Also, Portland Hemp Stock begins Saturday and Sunday in Portland, Oregon at Kelly Point Park. This is Portland's own Hemp Fest. I'll be broadcasting Normal Show live there Saturday night from the Hemposium stage, so check that out at live.normal.org. And the Cannabis Revival continues in Joplin, Missouri on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Again, check this out at the Landreth Park Amphitheater in Joplin, Missouri. On Saturday, Normal of Waco, Inc. is having their monthly meeting at Papa Rolo's Pizza in Waco, Texas. And Sunday rounds out the Monolith Festival and Portland Hemp Stock. For more details on these events, check out normal.org/calendar. And if you'd like to get your chapter's events on the national calendar, send me an email at stash@normal.org. It's a Normal shout-out. Our shout-outs today go out to the state of South Carolina. Had a gentleman call me today from South Carolina, very eager to get involved, wanting to know what it takes to form a Normal chapter. Also, still giving my shout-out to the folks in the Maryland, Delaware, Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. September 20th through the 22nd, I will be in Washington, D.C., and would love to meet with interested parties that want to form a Normal chapter in the Mid-Atlantic states. If you want to form a Normal chapter, just send me an email, stash@normal.org, and I'll get you started. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your hemp headlines, including a look at the Arizona Supreme Court's most recent ruling barring the religious use of marijuana. The Los Angeles Times takes a look at the underlying racism behind the war on marijuana. And reefer-mad Massachusetts officials consider a sin tax on rolling papers. For our Daily Toker Tunes brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we give you some urban music tonight with Lionheart and his song Welcome to Holland. And today is Tuesday, so we bring you the California Marijuana Report with Eric Brenner with more detailed news, interviews, and music from the Golden State. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Arizona Supreme Court, drug laws trump religious use of marijuana. From the Arizona Daily Star, Phoenix. The state's interest in banning marijuana outweighs the religious belief of an individual that he is entitled to use the drug anywhere, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled today. In a unanimous opinion, the justices said state law permits the government to, quote, burden the exercise of religion, end quote, only if it shows a compelling interest and that the restrictions are the, quote, least restrictive means of furthering that interest, end quote. And Daniel Hardesty conceded to the court that there is some governmental interest in the regulation of marijuana. But Chief Justice Rebecca White Birch said that, given the claim by Hardesty that his membership in the Church of Cognizance allows him to use marijuana anywhere and anytime, including driving, It is clear that the least restrictive means of the government to further its interest in protecting the public is an outright ban. Today's ruling, however, does not foreclose the possibility that the state's high court might not conclude that some other religious use of marijuana is acceptable. Birch pointed out that courts have allowed users of peyote to use federal laws to shield them from prosecution against state drug laws. She said, though, there is, quote, an obvious difference, end quote, between the situations. Quote, members of the Native American Church assert only the religious right to use peyote in limited sacramental rites, the Chief Justice wrote. Hardesty asserts the right to use marijuana whenever he pleases, including while driving, end quote. Today's ruling is the second defeat in 2 years for members of the Church of Cognizance. Last year, a Graham County couple that claims to have founded the religion in the early 1990s were found guilty of possession and conspiracy with intent to distribute marijuana after being stopped with 172 pounds of marijuana in their vehicle near Las Cruces, New Mexico. A federal judge in New Mexico rejected their religious freedom arguments. Dan Quaintance was sentenced to 5 years in prison. His wife, Mary, was sentenced to 2 to 3 years. A friend of mine is an amazing trial lawyer here in town, and he and I discuss these religious use arguments. He thinks that a federal religious use case for marijuana can be made and won under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. But to date, the people attempting to use a religious defense haven't had a leg to stand on in court. It can't just be somebody from the Church of I Like to Smoke Pot All the Time, or the Church of I Like to Sell Pot, or the Church of I Just Got Caught with 100 pounds of pot in my trunk, he tells me. I need a seriously devout, older, black Rastafarian. Sorry, white kid with dreads, that won't cut it. Don't mean to be racist, but appearances matter in court. With a verifiable record of practicing his faith over the long haul, busted on federal land, like, say, a national forest, caught by a forest ranger for holding less than an ounce of ganja, who'll be enough of a dick to arrest and prosecute this older black Rastafarian for an amount that's decriminalized under state law on federal charges and not just make him dump it. Oh, and who has enough money to finance the appeals all the way to the Supreme Court? No problem, I answered. I'll just put the call out to all the devout and rich black Rastafarian hikers I know. Well, you know how I feel about this. I think all adults should be allowed to use pot whenever and whyever they feel like it, so long as they do not infringe on the rights of others. But the problem with framing the religious use argument is that you're forced to engage on a rhetorical battlefield where historical precedent does not bode well for the marijuana smoker. For example, many religious users refer to ganja as a sacrament. That term, then, puts ganja on the same playing field as the Catholics' use of communion wine. When people think of communion, they think of a ceremony and a ritual and the ingestion of a tiny amount of wine as a symbolic gesture. They don't think of all wine everywhere, drank any time, as something sacred. So when people hear of the guy who wants to smoke pot all the time and call it religious use, or the guy caught with 172 pounds of pot for religious use, the sacrament frame turns that kind of pot use into an abuse, akin to an alcoholic with a barrel of Mad Dog 2020 in the trunk of his car. Sacrament derives from sacred and refers to something that confers a higher connection with the spiritual realm. So it is difficult for folks that think of sacraments as a once-a-week ritualistic practice to think of multiple daily smoking of ganja right out of the blue with no ceremonies or rituals as sacred. It's like that line from Lake Wobegon where all the children are above average. Not everything all the time can be sacred. Mind you, I'm just talking about how it looks to the average citizen on a jury or a judge. Personally, I totally understand the sacredness of the herb, and even as an irreligious person, I believe the bond between humans and cannabis is as special as that between humans and dogs or horses. Los Angeles Times, the racism of marijuana prohibition. According to the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice, the arrest rate for all offenses in California sank by 40% from 1990 to 2008, with arrests for rape and murder falling by more than 60% each. Drug possession arrests for everything but marijuana collectively fell by nearly 30% in the same period. Meanwhile, arrests for marijuana possession have skyrocketed, up 127%. This rise in marijuana arrests is the ultimate outlier. California made a major step toward decriminalizing low-level pot possession in 1975 when it made possession of less than an ounce a misdemeanor, punishable with a fine and no jail time. That didn't stop law enforcement from arresting more than 74,000 people last year, the highest number since the 1975 law took effect. More than 80% of those arrests were for misdemeanor possession, the lowest level offense. Not surprisingly, given the way drug laws are traditionally enforced in this country, the burden has fallen disproportionately on people of color, and on young black men in particular. According to the CJCJ, half of California's marijuana possession arrestees were non-white in 1990, and 28% were under age 20. Last year, 62% were non-white, and 42% were under age 20. Marijuana possession arrests of youth of color rose from about 3,100 in 1990 to about 16,000 in 2008, an arrest surge 300% greater than the rate of population growth in that group. Even more disturbing, African Americans account for an even higher portion of all marijuana felony arrests. Blacks make up less than 7% of the state population, but 22% of people arrested for all marijuana offenses and 33% of all marijuana felony arrests. More African Americans are arrested in California for marijuana felonies than are whites, even though whites are 6 times more represented in the state population. The overrepresentation of African Americans is not explained by use rates. According to the Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the percentage of African Americans and whites who use marijuana over any 30-day period are similar. However, for the 18 to 25 age group, which constitutes a substantial proportion of marijuana arrests, African Americans regularly use marijuana at rates lower than whites, 16.5% and 18.4% respectively, indicating that their overrepresentation may be even more profound. These statistics would be shocking if one wasn't aware of the roots of marijuana prohibition. It has always been about harassing and controlling the undesirable populations. From the moment the first anti-Mexican immigrant pot prohibitions were passed a century ago in El Paso. The term marijuana itself is Mexican slang used to give the innocuous sounding hemp plant a more evil sounding name. As black jazz musicians popularized marijuana use in the 20s and 30s, yellow journalist William Randolph Hearst and first drug czar Harry J. Anslinger were quick to leverage racism in their demonization of a plant.
Quote, "There are 100,000 total marijuana smokers in the U.S., and most are Negroes, Hispanics, Filipinos, and entertainers. Their satanic music, jazz, and swing result from marijuana use. This marijuana causes white women to seek sexual relations with Negroes, entertainers, and any others. Reefer makes darkies think they're as good as white men." End quote. Harry J. Anslinger, America's first drug czar, FDR through JFK. Quote, "Marijuana is a shortcut to the insane asylum. Smoke marijuana cigarettes for a month, and what was once your brain will be nothing but a storehouse of horrid specters. Hashish makes a murderer who kills for the love of killing out of the mildest mannered man who ever laughed at the idea that any habit could ever get him. Marijuana influences Negroes to look at white people in the eye, step on white men's shadows, and look at a white woman twice." End quote. William Randolph Hearst, Newspaper Tycoon, 1936.
Lest you think that kind of talk died out after Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement of the 60s, check out President Nixon's rationalization for the war on drugs just 40 years ago, first from the Nixon tapes, and second as explained to Chief of Staff H.R. Haldeman, as reported in Haldeman's diaries.
Quote, "I want a goddamn strong statement on marijuana. I mean one that just tears the ass out of them. You know, it's a funny thing. Every one of them bastards out there for legalizing marijuana is Jewish. You have to face the fact that the whole problem is really the blacks. The key is to devise a system that recognizes this all while not appearing to." End quote. Richard M. Nixon, former U.S. President.
Sin tax the rolling papers? Why not tax the pot instead? From wickedlocal.com. The Revenue Committee is considering legislation prohibiting cities and towns from charging the assessment or increasing the current taxes on a residential property until the property is sold. Another measure before the committee would impose a new $5 per package tax on rolling papers used to roll tobacco and marijuana. Supporters say that it is time to tax law-breaking citizens who use these rolling papers to primarily roll marijuana. Some opponents say that the proposed $5 per pack tax is a ridiculous one, which exceeds the cost of the rolling paper itself. Others argue that many smokers now buy the papers to roll their own regular cigarettes because of the increased tax on packaged cigarettes. Jeez, you guys are so close. How about you shorten that one sentence to, "It is time to tax citizens who use marijuana." By taxing rolling papers, you're tacitly admitting that prohibition has not stopped anyone from rolling marijuana, and also declaring that the state should garner some revenue from marijuana use. You're also guaranteeing big business to folks who'll drive out of state to pick up a case of bamboos to sell along with the weed, and to internet sellers who will ship it to Massachusetts tax-free. Isn't it maddening to watch the contortions prohibitionists will perform to avoid the obvious? NormalCon 2009, Yes We Cannabis, September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary, and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling while promoting the message of reform. To donate your song for possible use on the stash, enter it in the next Marijuana Music Awards contest today. This week sees a change to our Daily Toker Tunes. Instead of the usual Message Monday, Variety Tuesday, etc., we have a week of urban music to enjoy. We begin the Urban Music Week special with Welcome to Holland by Lionheart, nominated in 2007's Marijuana Music Awards. Lionheart are from Birmingham in the UK and are avid marijuana legalization supporters. Lionheart say, quote, "Marijuana is the healing of the nations. Hemp is the world's premier renewable resource with over 25,000 potential uses, including clothing, paper, plastics, food, fuel, and much more," end quote. Lionheart have recently released a new song called Legalize It, which you can hear at myspace.com/LionheartPro. That's LionheartPro. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Welcome to Holland by Lionheart.
I'm feeling called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
This is the California Marijuana Report for September 7th, 2009. I'm Eric Brenner. This week, a call to action in Mendocino County as Sheriff Tom Ullman declares war on pot. And guitarist Harvey Mandel with his Emerald Triangle Jazz Project on our California Marijuana Music segment, only on the California Marijuana Report. Trouble in Mendocino County as police seize more than 26,000 marijuana plants in the past 2 weeks alone. The Santa Rosa Press-Democrat says five firearms were also seized during joint operations by the Sheriff's Office, DEA, and Mendocino Major Crimes Task Force. Most of the pot was on Mendocino National Forest land east of Covelo. The victims of this bust: 51-year-old Richard Travers of Oregon, 33-year-old Richard Cavender of Laytonville, 28-year-old Rome Siomson of Laytonville, 35-year-old Jose Espindola of Laytonville, 56-year-old Angel Fargus of Eureka, 21-year-old Enrique Mendoza of Eureka, 20-year-old Amelia Mendoza of Eureka were all arrested on suspicion of cultivation of marijuana for sale. On August 26, law enforcement officials served warrants at 9 properties in the Ukiah, Potter Valley, Willits, and Laytonville areas owned by 37-year-old Leif Pierre of Ukiah. Authorities also grabbed 470 marijuana plants, 30 pounds of pot, and $62,000 in cash. Arrested on suspicion of marijuana cultivation and sales were Bier, Michael Hawthorne, 38, of Willits, Daniel Bregenberger, 31, of Willits. Mendocino County Sheriff Tom Ullman, you're responsible for all this. You're turning this office into a joke. Not only have you lost the war on pot, but you're also the California Marijuana Report's Dirty Bum of the Week.
News this morning, I think I'm gonna have to leave right away.
And now some California marijuana music. Here's Emerald Triangle, a project put together by San Francisco-based guitar player Harvey Mandel, Benny Murray on drums, artist Joyce on bass, special guest George Mikulski on keyboards. Here's Jive Samba, the great Nat Adderley tune. Harvey Mandel is a California rock legend, only on the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in and toking up with the California Marijuana Report. Special thanks to Harvey Mandel, Quicksilver Messenger Service, and of course NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Please join our group on Facebook. I'm Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you for downloading the NORML Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.norml.org. For everyone here at NORML, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the greatest of thanks for contributing to the El Jefe Hot Wings Eating Contest. Your contributions have helped me to make major upgrades to the studio that should definitely help us here in the production of Daily Audio Stash and NORML Show Live. Specifically, we're purchasing a Toshiba laptop with FireWire connection to be used as our remote studio. We've got the subscription to Skype so I can dial out with the Blog Talk Radio and the people we interview. And we got one of those Verizon wireless broadband cards so that I can get the internet access necessary to connect to the world no matter where I am in the cannabis community. So thank you all so very much. Our big winners in the El Jefe Hot Wings contest include Winder, who had the biggest donation at $21 per wing. And Brent in Kentucky is our second winner, randomly chosen from all the list of people who signed up. You guys both win an Herbage Designs prize pack and one of my special Gandalf glass art sculptures from Starfish Designs. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.